Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Wallet Wisdom, a podcast presented by LMCU. If you're new to the show or been listening for a while now, Wallet Wisdom is designed to help break down some of banking's more complex and confusing questions. I'm your host, Brett, and I can't wait to dive into today's episode. Well, hey, Trevor, again, thank you so much for being on Wallet Wisdom today. We're super excited to have you on. And, you know, for those that are listening and tuning in, we'd love to learn a little bit about what you do for the credit union, if you don't mind sharing a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
First time, long time. I don't know if they say that in podcasts, too.
yes.
Big fan of the podcast.
Well, thank you.
And your work. So
I'm glad to hear that.
Appreciate you having me. But I'm the Government Community Affairs Manager here at LMCU. So do a lot in the advocacy space, do a lot out in the community. Work with lawmakers and community leaders and stakeholders to give our members a voice, right? To give our team members a voice, give our employees a voice, and to be to speak to the credit union movement and to the credit union difference.
Yeah, and I love that because I think there's a bit of a common misconception in the world, like credit unions. I mean, what's the difference? Or they're just like a bank, right? I mean, you go in and there's a teller line and I get checkbooks and all the rest. So is it really that big of a deal? But, you know, when you look at the credit union movement, it has existed for a much bigger purpose, especially, you know, being birthed out of a really hard time in our country, you know, the Great Depression and just how we made rules around banking. So, you know, and when I think about money then versus money now, there's been a lot that's changed. And there's a lot of differences, but there are still some basic principles, I think, that still exist. Could you share a little bit about what your take is on, like, money then versus money now?
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective because, you know, as a nation, we've been looking back, you know, celebrating our 250th anniversary.
Yeah.
So as we look back, we see all that we've been through, all that has changed in the last 250 years. And as we look at financial services, a lot has changed, but a lot has also stayed the same, right? You look at how have things changed, right? When I was growing up, like, people were balancing their checkbook, right? You were going into branches and locations to cash and deposit checks. You were clipping coupons, right? You're doing all these things. Now it's the speed and how things have changed, right? With the LMCU app, right? You can do a mobile deposit
right
away in seconds. You can transfer money. You can apply for a loan all online. That has all changed. So the speed of everything has changed. But what has kind of remained constant through it all are the challenges and the concerns and the hopes and the dreams, right? Families and community members are still there. They want to buy a home, right? They want to be able to afford a home. They want to set up their children's financial future. They want to be able to, you know, go to the grocery store and afford groceries. And, you know, also the challenges that come with that. All those types of things, right, are challenges. And those have always remained the same through and decades of times. And that's what the beauty of the credit union is here for, right? Because we are here to help provide safe, affordable financial services for our members.
I love that. And that is truly, you know, again, for those that are listening for a while now, you'll know, I mean, that is the mission behind LMCU. It's it's our core. It's our DNA. It's from the moment we were founded in 1933 to where we are today. You know, it's always been rooted in how do we continue to meet our members' financial needs and be there for them every step of the way. Which, again, you think about how much has occurred. 250 years, like you said, America is celebrating this year. And, you know, to say that we have been a part of the conversation in our country for almost a century here at LMCU is kind of a cool testament, you know. I think about the challenges that were going on and really just the grit, I think, is the best way to put it. Not really, I would say, back in 1933, the prime time to start a business, right?
Definitely not.
But these teachers are like, we're going to do this because we need to do something. Yeah. And I think that is a huge testament to who we are.
Yeah, and I'll go back even further, right?
Yeah.
So the first credit union was established in the early 1900s, right? And the reason being, it was brought together by folks who didn't have access to traditional financial institutions. They were looking for something different. And so they came together, formed a cooperative model, and it was basically under the premise of people helping people, right? How can we pool our money together to achieve financial success together. And so that was in the early 1900s. And then, as you alluded to, it really was during the Great Depression where FDR signed the Federal Credit Union Act, and credit unions really took off from there.
For sure.
And if you look at it, it's because folks were facing challenges, right? One of the hardest times in our nation's history. Folks were facing challenges, and they needed access to safe, affordable financial services.
Yeah.
And that's where the credit union steps in. And as we look throughout, you know, the history of our nation, there are times that have been really rough, right?
Sure.
During the Great Depression and the World Wars. And there's been times that have been really good. But the credit union model has remained strong through all of that. And it all comes back to the premise of, you know, cooperative model of financial services under the theory and the principles of people helping people.
Absolutely. And you know what, I'd love to have you go a little bit further into that in regard to, you know, really the big things that separate a bank versus the credit union. Because again, for listeners, it would be probably nice to know, like, why was it even necessary for us to do that? You know, the banks found themselves into some tough spots back then, and this new method of thinking about banking, this credit union cooperative that you mean, could you share a little bit about what those differences kind of look like?
Yeah. So the major difference, right, is that credit unions are member owned and they're not for profits. And so member owned kind of sounds like one of those buzzwords.
Sure.
But what that really means is, I mean, we are owned by our members. Every member, and it's very simple to become a member of LMCU or a different credit union. Every member has a voice and has a say. It doesn't matter if you have $5 in your account. It doesn't matter if you have $5 million in your account. You all have that individual say. And kind of further highlighting the difference, right? Our board are our volunteers. We don't have shareholders, right? We don't we don't pay out dividends. We're a not-for-profit. And how that works is our earnings are returned then to our members in the form of better rates, lower fees, right? Enhanced financial services like down payment assistance and other things that we can do for our communities and for our members because we are not-for-profit.
For sure.
And that goes, again, back to the model of how these were formed. Folks that didn't have access to traditional financial services said, let's pool our money together and do good for each other, do good for our communities, serve our communities, and ultimately help set up, you know, financial success for the members.
It sounds like a great method, in my opinion, right?
Yeah, I would agree.
It seems like that would just be the norm.
And if you look at our founding too, right? Founded originally as the Grand Rapids Teachers Union by our founder, right? Lloyd Huff.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've covered that on here before. Who is a better example of people helping people than teachers?
Right.
Coming together and wanting to help the community. And that's our core foundation, right?
I want to kind of go back to kind of when you mentioned that part of your role is advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to dive into that a little bit for our listeners to understand, you know, what does advocacy look like for the credit union?
Yeah.
And maybe sometimes why do we need advocacy for the credit union?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, advocacy is often related to politics, right? And
sure.
Folks are like, well, I don't want to talk about politics.
Right.
But the sense of advocacy really is about making sure that our members' voices are being heard.
Yeah.
Every day, you know, in our state capitol in Lansing and in Florida State Capitol, Tallahassee, and of course in D.C., decisions are being made, conversations are being made that impact our members,
sure.
impact the way we can serve them, and impact our communities.
Yeah.
And it's important that we have a voice at that table to make sure that our members' stories, their perspectives, their policies, what they're going through, are being heard at the federal and state level. Because those decisions and discussions are happening regardless.
Sure.
So if we're not at the table, then they're going to have those without us.
I think it's also important to know that, like, these things can go away too. There are changes that can still happen with policy that where if our voices aren't being heard and someone's not advocating for us, decisions could get made that could have negative repercussions. You know, I think it's always important for everyone to have good information to know that, you know, even last year alone, there was conversation around some changes that were being proposed at least that could have really affected the credit union's ability to really give back to our members the way that we typically do. And so, again, for you to be advocating for all of us on behalf of all of us, I think is a huge important role. And just to keep the conversations going.
Yeah, one of the things that I love about the credit union model all across the country is how collaborative we are, right? And how we all work together. You know, credit unions from across the country. And often we'll travel to D.C. together, or we'll travel to Lansing or Tallahassee together and ensure that our voice is heard, right, on the stage and at the table. And what we do is we bring these member stories, the stories that we highlight on the podcast and we highlight throughout LMCU and in the communities we serve. We bring those stories directly to our lawmakers to ensure they know just how important the work that we do and how important our members are to our communities.
For sure. You know, I think too, Trevor, advocacy, to your point, is I think the vehicle that continues to help the credit union kind of look at where we're going next and the future for credit unions. What's kind of the forecast, would you say, that you're seeing in, as far as maybe where credit unions are continuing to go?
Yeah, it's fun to look back over the last, you know, 100 and so odd years that credit unions have been around in the country. And it's fun to look forward, right?
At
the future 100 years. And there's not a lot I know that will, you know, for sure what will happen in 100 years. I do know that the Lions will be Super Bowl champions.
Of course.
And I probably won't be around to see it. So I know those things.
Yes.
But I know that the credit union model will continue to be strong.
Yeah.
And it's because we're people focused. We're member focused, right?
For sure.
The challenges we talked about earlier, I don't think those will change either, right? The costs rising and the hopes and dreams of folks, I don't think those will change either with wanting to afford a place to live, wanting to set up their families, wanting to give a better financial future to the generations to come. I think those will all remain the same. And I think, you know, as we've seen, credit unions will remain to be strong. They'll continue to grow and people will see this member focused, member first model just be really successful for them.
I love that. Well, and I think about the growth that the credit union has seen, like not just LMCU, right, but the credit union movement across this country. You know, I have a little chart here that was showing, like, basically after 1990, it was like exponential growth from like 60 million up to like 142 million members in total. That kind of growth in 20 years, I mean, to me, seeing that chart trajectory, it shows, you know, what's another, you know, 10, 20 years look like, let alone, you know, we're celebrating, like you said, our 250th year here in our country, in America being founded. What's another 250 years look like for us here, you know?
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm encouraged as well. And again, having a voice for our members, I love how you put that, you know. Yeah. That voice is an important component to making sure we're advocating for what's next for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a big reason of the or a big part of the reason why we've grown is because, you know, there have been some financial challenges for families and folks over the last few years and decades. And I think folks take a very intentional look at their finances, right?
Yeah.
And when they're able to see, like, you know, the better rates that, you know, credit union LMCU can offer, right? When they're able to get a better mortgage rate, that means a lot to them. And that can make a really big difference for them. And, you know, as we move forward, we're going to make sure that we continue to give our members a voice. You know, I think of stories oftentimes, right, of a family that we helped buy their first home.
Yeah.
All right. And it's because they came to a home buyer seminar with us that we hosted for the community. And they were able to buy their first home. And that will make a difference for all of their, you know, family and their generations to come.
Absolutely. You know, well, and I think, too, about that, I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of times those types of programs you'll see are offered, but there might be a cost to go to that, you know, to be able to provide that as a free cost to anybody in the public. You don't even have to be a member to show up, right? You know, those are those differences of how we're giving back into the community, like you said, that action, if you will. Yeah. Any other, you know, last stories as far as like some of the action that you've seen credit unions been able to do and just kind of the maybe ripple effect from those?
Yeah, absolutely. So I, you know, one of the things that I love that we do is our financial reality fairs, right?
Yeah.
Our financial education. And it's great to go into these schools and work with students as, you know, we give them a job, we give them a rent or a mortgage payment, we give them all these costs that they have no idea are coming in life, right? And we say, all right, here's something called taxes and retirement, right? And things like that.
Surprise.
Yes, right? Yeah. And so we're able to sit down with them and help them plan and help them, you know, kind of work through, okay, should I be saving? Here's what I should do.
Yeah.
And we've been able to bring lawmakers into this environment and let them speak to the importance of financial education, but also show them, like, this is the impact we're having on students. And to speak directly to students after that, like, I had no idea, like, I had to pay this much in taxes, or this is what I'm, like, thinking about as I move into college, right? That's really powerful. And the second thing that's really stood out to me, too, is our support of, you know, small businesses and the work that, we do at LMC to support small businesses. I had a small business owner come up to me at a conference recently, and he told me, he said, without you guys, I would never have been able to launch my business.
Wow.
And it was just, it was powerful. And I'm able to then share that story again, one of our member stories, right, with lawmakers to ensure that their voice is heard about why our model and the work that LMCU is doing is so important.
No doubt. Well, you know, it's funny, too. I think about our humble beginnings. We were, again, in 1933 with those teachers. We were founded out of Lloyd F. Hutt's house. You know, we were in a garage. You know, I think about all the big successful companies that started in garages, like Apple and others. It's like we're right there with them, you know. And I think that when you have those early grassroots effort and the priorities are set straight early on, you know, amazing legacy and ripple effects can happen, you know, to your point. You know, who's to say that that small business owner, that business isn't going to affect another 10,000 people, you know, in this community. Yeah. The ripple effect of how this is making an impact in communities all throughout Michigan and Florida for our region, but the credit union movement is alive and well throughout the entire nation, which is really, really exciting.
Yeah, to that point, it's great to think back to the very first credit union, early 1900s that was set up, right? Or during the Great Depression, the folks that came together, said, I'm going to pool my money together. They never would have thought that the model would look like this right today, or that LMCU would look like this today. But the decisions they made then are positively impacting people's lives today.
For sure.
And the work that we're doing here at LMCU every day, you know, all across all the different departments and the work that we're serving our community are impacting people's lives for tomorrow. And that's just, it's for powerful and it truly drives our mission here at LMCU.
Well, and the other thing too that I was thinking about was, and we didn't really touch much on this yet, correct me if I'm wrong, part of what also made the credit union movement so successful is that credit unions were going into rural areas where banks were not, like, there wasn't any, it wasn't worthwhile going into that. Not a big enough market, if you will. Whereas credit unions were saying, we want to make sure we're in these areas as well.
Yeah.
You know, especially thinking in the early, you know, kind of years of our country where there's a lot of sprawl happening and a lot of rural communities that needed access to their finances.
Yeah.
So I think about that too.
Yeah, it's, you know, credit unions still, I mean, to this day, you know, serve areas where folks don't have access to traditional financial, you know, institution or services.
Yeah.
And that's part of the original way that credit unions were founded, right? Where it may not be the wisest investment for an institution that's, you know, looking to make a profit.
Right.
But that's not our goal. Our goal is not to make a profit. Our goal is to serve the community and provide the services to those members. And so, you know, credit unions as a whole are, you know, of course, you know, in a lot of areas throughout the country where folks don't have access to traditional services.
It's true. It honestly, it makes, it's those situations that make it easier for us to say yes to more things, right? When we're not having to double check whether or not we're going to make a profit on that. And instead we can say, this is a yes because this is going to reach our communities in a way that they need more than ever. So, definitely puts the perspective, I think, in the right place and the focus in the right place.
Yes.
But, you know, Trevor, again, thank you so much for what you do for us here at the credit union. The advocacy part, as we've already talked about, is such a crucial part of keeping our story front of mind in front of so many people, our politicians, and those that make decisions in the area. So big job. I know that you are running around all the time. But, you know, I couldn't have asked for a better person to do it.
Oh, so I appreciate that. It's an easy story to tell because our members are great, our mission is great, and our team members, employees here are great. So it truly is. It's an easy story to tell, and I enjoy getting to tell it. So I appreciate you having me here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, again, thank you to Trevor for making it onto today's episode. And you know, as always, I say it, we'll have to have Trevor on again maybe next year to chat a little bit more if there's any changes that go on. But again, Trevor, thank you so much for being on today's episode.
Thanks, Brett.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation as much as I did. If you've got questions or ideas for future podcast episodes, be sure to drop them in the comments below. Also, if you haven't already, consider subscribing and ringing that bell to stay up to date on future episodes on YouTube. You can also like and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you on the next one.